This is the podcast for passionate, sex-positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Bar none, the best sex educator on the planet. She makes it so much fun week in and week out. My pleasure to co-host with her. It is Turned On with Sex with Sue's Sue McGarvey, and I am John. It's Turned On with Sue and John. Hello, Sue.
Hello, baby. And he's the leading voice in radio in North America, John the Milkman Milky. Yay! we kill it. We really do.
I see my check cleared. That's wonderful. Here is your foreplay this week, listener. These are the things just to, you know, pique your interest. What you look forward to as things progress here. We're going to talk weird sex facts, the best way to get laid, how to increase blood flow to your nether regions. Of course, we have our kinky confessions every single week. You step up and you tell us just little things about yourself anonymously, of course, through our website at turnedonpodcast.com. This week on So, You're a Swinger. We're going to talk about that question that swingers get all the time. Why do you cheat? Well, it's not cheating. We'll get into that. Plus, today's big O, Sue. That's the one topic this week that we hope makes people really go, oh.
Or, oh.
Or that. Oh. And this week's big O is the five things you can do to last longer. Plus, the female high libido. You've got a book review and our happy ending this week, the world's most promiscuous countries. Are you all set to get turned on with Sue and John?
Damn Skippy.
That's exactly the answer I was hoping to hear.
Turned On with Sue and John.
All right, first up this week, Sue, our sex facts of the week.
It's going to start with some weird shit, okay? So just so you know, not safe for work. There's a whole thing comes out of, it's a word called Takandan. Basically, it's the Kurdish word for clicking. And what do you do is it, I thought it was like breaking your penis. I saw a video on it and it was jaw dropping. Think of it, instead of cracking your knuckles, you crack your dick. It makes apparently a painless popping sound, but it also helps you get rid of unwanted erections. So if you get, you know, this is the boner in math class that you want to get rid of. So here's what you do.
I'm very afraid. So, you know,
isn't it milking or, you know, in terms of edging, this is holds the lower part of your shaft with one hand and use the other to quickly snap the other shaft, the upper shaft.
Oh my God.
I know. Apparently it is a thing, John, like, come on. It's a thing. And I didn't know about it, but I saw a video and it seems painless, although not necessarily pleasurable. Again, the guy says it feels like cracking his knuckles. It feels kind of just satisfying.
Except it's not cracking your knuckles, Sue.
It's whipping your penis, not out, but ooh, using it as a whip. I know, right? Weird sex facts. You may want to look at it. It's, you know, if you want to be in the know about weird things that I hadn't seen before, this is what you need to know.
All right, I'm going to ask a question. What does that achieve? What's the purpose of it?
Well, it does get rid of unwanted erections, as we're saying,
okay,
and it leaves you with a feeling. Now, again, we're going to talk a lot about blood flow in this episode, about how you do it, because blood flow increases orgasm. And this is one of the weird sex facts that it does.
Okay.
The other thing going on when they actually checked people's blood flow and put sensors was that women, not men at all, but women were aroused by chimpanzee porn. They showed videos of chimps getting it on. And the guys weren't turned on, but the women secretly, because they had electrodes, were all of a sudden started getting wet and their blood flow started increasing significantly.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. So we like, you know, watching that. And the last thing is that bats engage in oral sex. And I don't know. Every time I go to Florida, I have a girlfriend who works at Disney. And my favorite Disney park is Animal Kingdom because they have baby gorillas and they have these tigers, but they have these fruit bats, the Indian flying fox. And they're all getting it on all the time. Like, it's just hilarious. It's my favorite, and it's Disney, right? So apparently what they do is they engage in oral sex. We're not sure if they do it, you know, for the reasons we do it, but they lick out competing competitors' sperm because they do both cunnilingus, meaning packing a lunch, or, you know, fellatio, which is blowjobs. And the female flying bats often will lick the penis because they want to disinfect it, which is not what we do. You
no,
better have a shower.
No, it's not.
We're not touching that. No, but that's interesting. So I didn't know. So things I didn't know this week. So I love weird sex facts that I actually didn't know. Women are aroused by chimp porn. Bats engage in oral sex. And you can flick your penis just like cracking your knuckles.
This week's weird sex facts. Often things get a little batty around here.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
You can subscribe to Sue's newsletter from there as well, and we sure hope you do. You send that out every couple of weeks or so, right?
Yes, I do. A couple times a month, absolutely. You can go, yes, go sign up, and it gets linked to all kinds of cool things. And I'm often sending out interesting stuff. I have a couple of electronic books, and I must have 1,000 books on my phone. And I'm reading constantly. So if you want to know what you're reading or you want to be in the know with some interesting stuff, definitely get our newsletter.
All right. Next up here on Turned On, the podcast, the best way to get laid, how to use your charisma to get somebody in bed.
Well, it turns out charisma is a learned quality. You know that people who have the it factor, you know, the celebrities and people that seem to just have people gravitate towards them?
I think I know a thing or two about that, Sue. So yes.
Yeah, you've got some it factor. I would absolutely agree with that. But it turns out you can use all that charm, my friend, for evil.
I or can?
In this case, yes, in this case, to schmooze somebody into bed rather than just for, you know, accolades and to have people like you. Turns out that you can use it to get laid. Now, this is all the mystery method and all of those pickup artists. Now, I think they're unethical and they use the psychology of, you know, sort of half-ass put downs and things like that to sort of undermine confidence. But there are some real psychological things that you can do in a fun way that's ethical, but that actually has potential partners going, okay, maybe I'll take a run at this person. Because they said that some of the best lovers in history were not the best looking with the best bodies or the biggest tongue or any of that stuff. They had the ability to focus exclusively on that person. They say that Bill Clinton was the most charismatic person.
I just want to weigh in here and make it clear I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Well done. But it turns out the best way to get laid is to be knowledgeable,
yep,
to be overly enthusiastic, to gush, not gossip.
Nice.
It is. So you want, but because when you gossip and you say something mean about somebody, if you say, hey, that person is such a cow.
Right.
Well, it turns out that cow is applied to you. So you want to say just great things that my friend is just sued. And what you want to do is gush about things that have a passion word in it. You say, you know, you could ask them questions too. And it's, you know, what are your passion projects? What excites you lately? You know, things, those kinds of questions will lead people down a path to thinking about, maybe I do. You need to get people to tell you their story, and you need to have intense eye contact to the point where you can remember the color of their eyes and really look at them. But your goal is to use words about passion. What's keeping you red hot these days? Do you know what I mean? Those kinds of questions.
Right, right.
Apparently, it leads people to go, maybe I want to have a romp with this person. You make sure that you are, you know, the most interesting, think that they are the most interesting person that they could possibly know and be interested. So it's all of that thing. So enthusiastic, knowledgeable, interested, use passion words and check out their eye color. In that case, you're going to give them the skills to come to bed. Now, I have a book about this. So if you sign up on Turned On with Sue and John on the podcast, turnedonpodcast.com, I will attach it to this week's newsletter.
Turned On.
Next up, how to increase blood flow to your nether regions and have a better orgasm.
Yep. We've been talking about how you increase blood flow. And you may think, Sue, why do we want to increase blood flow? Well, John, let me tell you. You want to because it's blood flowing against nerve endings that trigger orgasm. And the more blood, the more orgasm. And it was interesting because I remember being in my office, you know, it was a while ago. So I'm sitting in my office and I had this waiting room outside. And anytime I would open the door to bring in the next client and they would be young and really fit, I often knew that, you know, they're athletes. And I remember the one who was on the national rugby team. I swear to God, he had thighs like tree trunks. He had to get his pants, you know, custom made. Like it was like, you're a mutant. You're a barrel with legs. How do you do this? And those guys had a lot of blood flow because they were athletes and they were often premature ejaculators. And we're going to get to that later in the show. But what happens is if you can increase your blood flow, you're likely to have great orgasms. And you do it, both male and female. We've been talking about the penis pump, but the clitoral pump, a little dome, pump, 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 it gets engorged. You can also engorge things. That's what boner pills do. That's what Viagra, Cialis, Levitra. It does a little bit more because it blocks some of the chemicals that reset, but it really does send blood flow to your bits. Number two, using some of the supplements, including Yohimbine and Maca. And there's a new one by Desert Harvest who sent us the aloe vera. And if you can get aloe vera in strong enough quantities, what it does is it increases blood flow. Stopping smoking, lowering the alcohol, managing the medication, those all help, as does acupuncture. And I know you're thinking, little tiny needles, Sue, in my penis or whatever. But, you know, a billion Chinese can't be wrong. All of that ancient Chinese medicine about acupuncture for people who are having issues with blood flow, acupuncture may actually stop. And if you don't like the acupuncture and you're not up for needles, you can do pressure, which is sort of pressure points in there. The following, there's also things like making sure the food, apparently asparagus that changes, you know, the smell of your pee, changes the taste of your semen, actually really does help increase the blood flow.
Pineapple, I'm told, changes the flavor too. I know that's got nothing to do with blood flow.
It does. Sweet. Okay. If you want to do sweet an hour before, it does change it. I used to have a partner that I refused to let him take gin and tonics for that very reason. But yes. Yeah. Black. Let's leave it at that. And the last part is, you know, you want to manage your stress. You want to make sure, and you want to make sure we're doing our Kegels. All right, everybody, practice our Kegels. Pretend we're peeing all over the seat of our chair. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Pretend
I've been doing it the entire time we've been talking. I've been doing my Kegels. I
know.
Promise.
You work on those pelvic floors, sweetie. I want you to be able to
lift weights with my,
hit a fly off the wall, so to speak.
Yes, that. All right, coming up next, this week's Kinky Confessions.
More of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
Turned On with Sue and John is brought to you by Eden Fantasies. Ready for a little undercover fun? With Connection, you are always on a secret spy mission for the most intense orgasm that will not be detected by anyone. This is more than a vibrator. It's your partner in crime for a sneaky escapade, or a third accomplice when you're doing the nasty with your partner. Get yours at EdenFantasies.com/turned on, or click their banner at TurnedOnPodcast.com. All right, listener, on your knees. Nice. I like when they do what they're told, Sue.
It is. It's actually a very attractive quality.
It really is. This really is our Kinky Confessions. Here's the deal. We've got a space on our website. You don't have to identify yourself in any way, shape, or form. There's no phone number required, no email address required. You can simply type in anything you want to confess as it pertains to sex and sexuality. Maybe something you've done, something you'd like to do. You can tell us. We can tell the world. Nobody knows who you are. TurnedOnPodcast.com. First up is someone who simply sent the following, a first and last name, Haley Davies. Now, I had no idea who that was. Do you know who Haley Davies is?
No idea.
So I had to look her up. First off, you spelled her name wrong, listeners. Sent me for a bit of, a long way around, but we got it. Haley Davies is a porn star. I kind of figured that. She is single, according to Pornhub. She's interested in girls and guys. Her home is in Miami. She's had more than 4 million profile views. She's been active since 2003. She is a female. She is white. She is Australian. Her eyes are green, Sue. Her boobs are fake. She has tattoos. She has piercings. Interests include traveling, sewing, and drawing. Her turn-ons, passionate sex, kissing, and rimming. So this person confesses to liking Haley Davies, H-A-Y-L-E-Y, Davies. That's confession.
So send us the friends list. Who would you have? Who is the person you most would, you know, get weak in the knees if you met? I know you have some very definite ideas on this.
I may have a few, yes. That's the five that if you could, you would, and nobody could say anything. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Kinky confession number two. This person says, I want to check out Secrets Resort in Florida. I do too. Sue, you know all about that place.
I do. I actually am a condo owner at Secrets Resorts, the beautiful waterfall room, room 120. By all means, rent it. You know, I think it's beautiful. I did it just for me. And if you do, send me a note and I'll give you where all the secret stuff is hidden.
Is there actually a waterfall in the room?
There's actually two waterfalls in the room. Ooh, yeah. The whole bathroom has, it turns on, you press a button and the whole waterfall, the whole side of the bathtub all just becomes this waterfall. Oh yeah. And it's got little mermaid tiles. I love it. I love my room. I love it. But it's a very, very wild place. It used to be not so wild. It was, you know, down the road from Disney, and it was a great place if you wanted to be a nudist. And then they had this dungeon, and then they built this, the big playrooms, and then they renovated it. And now it is the definitive place if you want to be a swinger. And it's what I would call deep end of the pool.
I'm assuming, right? Really, it's near Orlando then, if it's a Disney kind of...
Yep, it's on 192, yeah, okay. Right? It's Kissimmee and just at the edge of where Disney starts. And it's in that milieu close to the Turnpike. And absolutely, you need to go check it out. It is, they have some great weekends. Some of the big swinger groups do. They have something called Eye Candy, or our friends from Swing Nation, Dan and Lacey, who we've had on the show a bunch of times, have done some groups there.
I think they were just there recently, as a matter of fact. Their latest podcast, I think, was from there. She was bragging about one of the particular rooms. I bet if I go back and watch and listen, that would be that room.
Well, it wouldn't be my room, but because I don't have to swing, because I was all worried about the liability, because I'm worried about it. But I love my room, and there's lots of different rooms with swings and with different things that you want. I picked mine because it has this great view of the creek, and there were baby gators in the creek. I was so excited, and you know, they weren't there the next time I looked, but...
Our final kinky confession this week, and again, your confession is always welcome, 100% anonymous. There's nowhere for a phone number, nowhere for an email address, so you know it's anonymous. This person says they had a hand job on the bus recently, and they cannot stop thinking about it.
I saw that, and then the scent of diesel fume gets them slightly aroused, and yeah, so that must be a pretty long bus ride, or what happens is you just kind of, they see that you have an erection and they slide over, put their hand on your leg, or this was a friend. I don't know. Kinky confessionist, please tell us more. Like, you know, I want to know if, you know, I never believed this would happen to me, but I'm on the, you know, I'm on the 195 headed downtown, and you know, the beautiful buxom fake boobed Haley showed up beside me and slid her hand up my cargo shorts. And the rest, as they say, is history.
You're making me want to take public transit again. And silly me, it's been so long, I thought you had to pull the little lever in order to get off.
Ba-dum-ba.
Turned on with Sue and John.
Still to come, this week's big the topic that we hope makes you go, oh, or as Sue said earlier, that. Right now, so you're a swinger.
So there's this whole dynamic, you know, about what is it? Do you cheat? Are you cheating? Are you not cheating? Is it ethical non-monogamy? So successful ethical non-monogamy is open, free, casual, consensual, playful, uninhibited. There's lots of people doing it badly based on the new research. There's something called an expert orgiast. An expert orgiast. I wonder if that's a bumper sticker. We could have t-shirts that said expert orgiast. We were just talking about. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I know. But they're also saying that there's often a lot of shaming, and you have to plan for jealousy, resentment, and regret, because there's a lot of people that have this belief that you're cheating. Well, and some people do cheat. They decide that they like the taboo of not telling their partner. But if you had a partner who was open to the possibility, so you had a great relationship, you have a primary relationship, but your partner will let you play, A, you hang on to that person, and B, you have continual conversations, because it isn't cheating. This is outright transparency. But there are cheaters, and it's trying to look at, but that is not considered ethical non-monogamy. It's just considered non-monogamy.
Well, it's considered cheating. I mean, anybody in a swinging relationship where this is permitted, everything is negotiated. Everything is up front. Everything is approved. And the other person involved in the relationship reserves the right to say, yes, no, I'm uncomfortable, slow this down, etc. Cheating is cheating, even in a swinging relationship.
That is true. But people often will, you know, if they'll usually start with cheating. There's a lot of people who have had affairs right. in the past because they haven't right. been confident enough to tell their partner. They want to feel desirable. They want to feel that they have it. And they often will have an inflated perception of their own desirability. And it's not until they start talking about being, you know, open to new experiences, which is really, again, what ethical non-monogamy as a non-monogamists as a rule want to. And the other one is they want more or different sex. But I talk to a lot of people who are struggling and they just can't turn off that horny meter, right? That need to, like, the desire, holy smokes, it's just all consuming. I really want to turn it off and get some work done. I've jerked off 3 times today. How do I do this, Sue? And where do I go with it to try and find the excitement that I'm looking for? And if you're not in a relationship that you can open up and you have these desires, is this the relationship you want to be in? And if it is, figure out a way to somehow bring your partner, you know, sort of down that path.
Since it is our swinger segment, you mentioned you wanted to bring up Aiella and some research on poly versus monogamous relationships. And it kind of fits into this topic right here, doesn't it?
Right. Aiella, if you haven't seen her, she's a model, a cam girl, an escort. She's an OnlyFans who's getting, you know, $100,000 per month on her OnlyFans account.
Not bad.
And yeah, what the neatest thing, and, you know, she's obviously attractive and cool and young and fun, but the most interesting part of her is, to me, is her brain. She self-taught herself the scientific method and has been doing research with her huge audience. And I love the stuff she's coming up with. There's all kinds of different stories she's doing and all kinds of different surveys, but she's surveying, you know, lots of people because she's millions of followers. So she did a question about the difference between monogamy and polyamory and how long people are in those relationships and how they differ. And it turns out that poly relationships on average, if people are doing them, are under 10 years versus monogamous tend to be closer to 20. So it's really just the length of the relationship. People tend not to have the complications. And I tell people poly is not for the faint of heart. And it is different from swinging in the fact that you have love connections and you have intimacy and you have people in your life and you're introducing them to your parents and you have a husband and a boyfriend or a wife and a girlfriend. And it's that complicated stuff. But it tends to shorten the life of the relationship. I have friends who are in a full quad, poly, love each other. They're actually in 2 different countries and make it work. And they're going on, I don't know, year 7. And it's a magical relationships between all of them. But they, you know, and the goal is, but they, to me, are the only quad, the only foursome I've met that really are the exception that make the rule. They really make it work. So it's hard and it's complicated. And if you're interested in this topic, check out Aiella. I follow her on X, and man, she is sharp.
So on X or Twitter, she is at Aiella_girl. Aiella is Aiella_girl. Aiella_girl. All right, coming up next, this week's Big O, 5 things you can do to last longer.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
This week's Big Oh. Is that how you like it? Like that?
I like it. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Lasting longer. Drag it out there, dude.
Well, yeah. That's the topic today. Five things
that
you can do to last
the
longer.
Topic.
We're not talking as an announcer. We're talking in the bedroom, of course.
Of course. The five things you can do to last longer. Now, here's the story. So I'm at an event recently. I'm not going to say which one, and I'm not going to embarrass the person listening, but thank you for the question and the comment and the thank you. It was lovely. Pulled me aside and said, Sue, I got to thank you. I was listening to Turned On with Sue and John, and you gave a tip, and it has actually changed my life.
Oh.
Yes. So guys that can be a little fast off the mark, and it's, you know, one in four. And it's challenging if you've never really trained yourself and you're all of a sudden with a new partner and you've got an association and it climaxes quickly and you just want to be a rock star, but you're not. One of the things you can do to cut to the chase is go on a type of antidepressants called SSRIs. An anti-anxiety medication will, for if you're on enough of it, it will stop you from climaxing completely. But for guys that are premature and you have a modest amount, it will slow things down. And he's like, Sue, it has changed my life. It is an absolute game changer. He knows who he is. Thanks for bringing that up because it is such a huge thing. And we mentioned Kegels. We're all squeeze, or using weights.
Still doing
on
it.
Your penis.
Yeah. Here, yeah. The entire show. Yeah. That's all I do. Yeah.
Or some of the desensitizing cream. They used to have one called Tiger Balm. And somebody said it was the most painful thing they ever did because their partner like overdid it.
Oh.
And it was like, I know it felt like having those icy squares, but it was like all over their face. You have a very thin layer. Or you can get the Promescent, which we have talked about and we've talked to the experts on that, which is the number one selling one, which right. And actually works developed by a urologist. There is something called the ripcord, which is it's a ring that goes around the top of the testicles because moving the testicles up towards the body helps increase your ability to ejaculate. So if you keep the band around it and pull it down, then what happens as you get turned on, you can have this ripcord, rip it off, testicles move up towards the body and boom, that's when you climax. But before that, you're the Energizer Bunny. Do, 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 do. And one of the things you want to be aware of is your breathing. The last thing is don't hold your breath. And people, so many people hold their breath or they do that shallow breathing. No, deep. Let's all practice our deep sting-like breaths. This is all tantra, like Sting and Trudy. Breathing and working on our meditative breaths. The more you can push your orgasm back into your testicles through breathing, the likelier you are to last longer. So this week's Big O practice.
Turned On.
She's Sue McGarvey. I am John Milky, the Milkman. And next up, the female high libido. What it's like to be a woman who just cannot get enough.
Yes. It turns out 70% of women have a modest or low libido. And what it's like to be the 30% that has a high libido. I would say that I fall into that category. And there were moments in my life where it was absolutely distracting. That a lot of them were, they're saying that they wanted tenfold of what their partner was. And even if they weren't in the mood at that moment, if their partner initiated and they didn't feel like it, they knew they had to take it because otherwise sex is a distant memory. They talked about, you know, the things that they liked, but a lot of partners were anxiety ridden about that in terms of looking at what, you know, how do we get that? Lots of women want orgasms every day, but they finally get to the point where they're looking at quality rather than quantity, which is different from male high libido who really just wants, they want quality too, but they really want quantity. Right. Quantity as much, as much as they can get. Volume is, you know, that's what we do. But no, I know a couple. And they were like, they were just friends with benefits, but they stayed together and they became a couple, even though they weren't entirely well suited because they had the same sex drive, and they pretty much banged for at least 90 minutes a day. That was their,
that's an entire mixtape, Sue.
I know. Well, they would go for, you know, 2 hours at a time, like every single day. And he's like, she drives me crazy in a lot of areas, but I can't give her up. Who else will keep up with me?
Yeah.
And there are times where it's a couple times a day, and that need to do that. And there were other ones that had medication that said that it made such a difference for them, but they missed the sexy girl that they used to be. Finally, one of them was talking about how she used her mother's sex toys. And that even as, I know, they lost their virginity to using their mother's sex toys and would sneak them out and use them. And I know we had sex toys in the house when I was a kid. I certainly had. I tell people the story about my very proper Scottish grandmother buying me a Philips beauty set for Christmas and not taking me very long to figure that out. But this desire to, and the crazy stories about what they would do up against countertops and spin cycles and humping their teddy bears, and those stories about women with high sex drives and trying not to feel shame about that. And I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of. So from somebody else, from a sister who has been there, it's all good.
Turned on.
This week's happy ending is on the way, if you weren't already aware. Right now, a book review with Sue McGarvey.
Well, what I'm trying to do is we're not above bribery, and we're trying to entice you to sign up on turnedonpodcast.com with your email address. It can be, you know, another email address that you don't normally check. It doesn't have to be your work one, but I will send you. We talked earlier about a book I have on charisma and how to get laid, but I have one called With Sprinkles on Top. Everything vanilla people and their kinky partners need to know to communicate, explore, and connect. Ooh. By Stephanie Gorlich. So it's sprinkles on top. I think we all need to have more sprinkles on top. It's a affirming, informative guide exploring desire differences between kinky and non-kinky and vanilla partners. So if one of you is coloring outside the lines and the other one is, you know, what I call Amish sex Saturday night with the lights off, then this is your translation book. This is how to translate what's going on. And I think everybody needs to have a book on their phone or on their tablet. And hey, we were talking about being on public transit. Nobody knows what you're reading if it's on your phone.
That's true.
Or that is true. And we also have, I said, we have that book about charisma that I have for you. So go to Turned On, give us your email, join our newsletter list, get free shit, and support us, Sue and John, and our turnedonpodcast.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
This is your happy ending. And a little something I used on my radio show earlier this week. It comes from World Population Review, Sue. They have just published a list of the world's most promiscuous countries. And of course, they came up with these numbers and these rankings based on the number of partners individuals have had throughout their life. If you're listening in the United States, if you're listening in Canada, I'm sorry, we need to do better in North America. We didn't make the top 10.
So who is, or which country is, the most promiscuous? Can you give us the top five?
You want the top five? Okay. South Africa. The average South African has had 12 and a half partners.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Iceland at 13.
They can't do anything else. It's cold up there.
It's funny. The person who submitted the list put a little side note. What else do they have to do in Iceland? You said the same thing. New Zealand, 13.2. Australia. We've got a lot of listeners in Australia.
We love our Australian listeners. Yes. They're so cool.
They are the second most promiscuous country around. 13.3 is the average for number of partners they've had. Number one in the world is Turkey with 14.5.
Wow. Now, Eden Fantasies, our sponsor, have a number of, they're in Moldova, and they have a number of Turkish people in their customer service. I met them and they're lovely. I'm gonna bring it up next time that they, you know, 14 partners. That's, you're right, that is high.
14 and a half, Sue.
Ooh. You know, I don't, nobody wants to ask you what your kill list is. I'm just saying, you know, somebody was saying that they weren't getting enough, and you know, I'm just bringing down the national average. I got to do that. Somebody help me out. But
well, here in North America, we do need to do better. We U.S. and Canada tied for 13th place with an average of 10.7 people. Countries thought to have more liberal views on sex. This is interesting. Brazil and France, they were way down on the list. And the least promiscuous countries in the world, China and India, FYI.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. Get in touch. Find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.